We're back.
Like Texas, the Sports Hour podcast actually is back. Boys, we made it. It's been three long weeks, radio silence, but we're back. Peyton, Grady, Toby, what's going on, guys?
The finals week hangover is finally subsided.
It took a month, but finals week hangover is finally over.
Yeah, it's just like everything kind of all happened at once, and now we've had plenty of time, a short vacation per se, and it's finally over, and it's time to get back to normal.
And it ended with me and Grady graduating.
I also graduated.
No, you didn't.
I walked across the stage shook the dean's hand.
That don't mean you graduated, bro.
I'm sorry, I have to take a Spanish class.
Two Spanish classes and an elective.
Yeah.
We were all in the bulletin before the graduation, so all our names were in there. So
it
we
was.
All technically graduated.
It was. But technically, if Toby didn't go back in the summer, he'd never have a degree.
Yeah, but I'm here. I'm still in Oxford. You're recording in my apartment.
This is exactly. Technically my apartment.
Exactly. We moved on with our lives. We moved out of Oxford, and you're still in Oxford. You can't get over this.
Just
place.
Like the University of Texas. Can't get out of the past.
W. Throw them up. Guys, the sports.
Down.
Horns down. Guys, the Sports Hour podcast is back. Like I said, Peyton, along with Grady and Toby. None of the other fellows in tow tonight. Tried to get Corey out here. Corey wouldn't come. We were going to be talking a little bit of NBA, but he sold on us. Buzz, who knows where Buzz is?
All we got, all we need.
Yeah, Chuck will give a pass. He is in Hoover. Chuck is in Hoover, which we'll be talking about in a little bit. But first, let's start with a different form of baseball. It's coming up. It's going to be the biggest baseball matchup in the state this weekend, which is the Mississippi State High School State Championships. And I will actually be down there on Wednesday. I plan on putting this up tomorrow. Usually we put it up on Wednesday, but we're recording on Monday. Plan on putting it up on Tuesday. So, yes, I'll be down there tomorrow to watch East Union in Game 1 and to call that one on the radio. And I'm excited for it. I don't know. I'm sure you've probably seen it, Toby. I doubt you have. Have you ever been to a state championship baseball game before, Grady?
I haven't.
It's an awesome experience. Yeah. It's like high school basketball. In a sense, obviously it's a lot like high school basketball. It depends on what schools go down there. But you usually get a pretty good baseball atmosphere when you go down there, especially playing at Trustmark Park. That's awesome that they play it down. You know, we had the discussion a while back on basketball, whether they should play at the Big House or play at the colleges. This is one time where I'm okay with you playing it in Jackson at Trustmark Park.
Well, it's a good venue. I mean, the argument that we had about the Big House was it's outdated. I think a double-A ballpark and it being a really good double-A ballpark, I don't think there's any argument to that being the place that it is taken in. So, I mean, of course, they would like to play in Swayze or Duty Noble, but then again, it's just a place that makes sense for a state championship.
I will say, you're not going to see – well, actually, it's not as bad as I thought. Left field is 330, right field is 332, center field is 402. I figured it was going to be a little bit deeper than that.
I remember it was I think it was when was it? It was when Chuck was still in high school. So I think it was either 10th or 11th grade. Oxford walked it off in the state championship. Tommy Dealer hit a bomb out there.
Yes, I remember that.
And now is he in the Brewers minor league system now? But I mean, that's just crazy to say a high school kid walks it off in the state championship.
By the way, baseball story, I got to tell. Yeah. So my dad went to a friend of his surprise birthday party. He had a 50th birthday. Wife threw him a big party, and one of the attendees was Coach Smiley, famous baseball coach up from Mississippi. I don't know if y'all ever heard of him, but very accomplished in the state. Anyway, he keeps a Mississippi baseball state record book, and he gave a copy to my dad, and my dad let me look through it. And I got to shout out my main man, Blake Long. Did you know Blake Long is tied 5th for a state record in history?
What is it?
Most consecutive at-bats without a hit. 27. Talk about a cold streak.
That sounds like me in intramural softball. I still ain't got over it.
Toby started the year with 2 infield singles, didn't have a hit the rest of the way.
No, I think I struck out once.
Oh, man, but 27 at-bats without a hit.
Did John Austin's in there, too, man.
John Austin's in there, yes. John Austin, my brother, is actually in there. 9th best batting average in a single season in state history, 627.
Yeah, I remember that. I've seen it in there.
Yeah, 627.
The bazooka from Iuka is in there a lot,
Richie
too.
Is in there a lot. Yeah. Richie's in there a lot. Yeah, they're Thomas Dillard, I saw his name in there. Yeah. A lot of names in there, both local and
Brandon Woodruff's in there too, as
Brandon,
well.
Brandon Woodruff's in there as well. Yeah,
and batting averages too.
Yes, yeah. He's up there in batting averages. Yeah. But Janaul said out hit Brandon Woodruff. He can say he out hit an MLB pitcher.
But so, did he hit a home run off Clayton Kershaw in the NL playoffs 1 year? Brandon Woodruff did
that's
that.
Facts. That's facts. The pride of Wheeler. But yeah, I'll have to show that to y'all. It's very interesting to look at. But regardless, we say all that to say high school baseball is an exciting time for it. And let's start picks real quick. Resurrection versus Biggersville in 1A. And Toby, I'll start with you because I feel like I know who you're going to pick.
I think coming off, didn't they win the state championship, both men's and women's in basketball?
Yes.
Riding high on it, give me Biggersville to win the state championship.
I figured you'd go with that Alcorn Central pride.
Nah, I'm going with Biggersville.
For me, like, with 1A private schools, they scare me because, I mean, you say recruiting in high school. Private schools can recruit. I mean, and it's not something that's open. It's not something that's brought to light a lot today. But I feel like with Resurrection, I'm not sure what they have. I'm sure they're really, really good. Biggersville's had a good team this year, but I'm going to go Resurrection.
Yeah, no, and that is what it comes down to a lot of time. You look at, especially in the smaller classifications,
yeah.
1A, Resurrection, private school. 3A, Seminary, private school. I don't know if Stringer's a private school. I don't think they are, but even still, that's two private schools, and usually there are more private schools than two. Yeah. But, they're always making appearances, and they run good baseball programs outside the fact that they can technically, quote-unquote, recruit.
Yeah.
But even still, so were you picking Resurrection?
I did.
I'm gonna pick Biggersville, and okay. Maybe it's because of the West Union pride. West Union played them in North Half and got put out, but I've heard a lot about this Biggersville team. Yeah. Biggersville, just a few years ago, just to be frank, they were an okay baseball program, but they weren't. They weren't, you know, a state championship competitor. But just like all of other Biggersville athletic programs, they built it up and I think they'll reap the benefits this year, and I like Biggersville.
The athletes running through there right now are, I guess, just in a 1A school. I mean, they can win in so many different sports. Just competitive guys that are headed in the right direction.
2A, Stringer versus East Union.
East Union. I'm going with the Urchins.
Let me go with East Union.
Yeah, I'm going to go East Union with the sweep here. East Union, they were there last year, called that series. Lost to Taylorsville in a tough series. Taylorsville was a fantastic game. Now, a 2A program that had a kid shoving 90 on the mound. But East Union, they built for this moment. They didn't lose much last year. They don't lose much again after this year, and they have been on a tear through the playoffs this year. Give me East Union as well. And I'm going to call East Union a sweep. I think they sweep Stringer to win the state championship.
Wow.
Sweep.
I like it.
Seminary versus Amory in 3A.
Say the teams again.
Seminary versus Amory.
Ooh. Seminary is a really good baseball school. I mean, they've got five or six D1 players every year.
Baseball and softball, they're very good at both programs.
I mean, we've talked earlier, and you were talking about West Union. I'll talk a little bit about Nettleton. The last 2 years, Nettleton's won their division, and then both years, another team has beaten them in the playoffs that was in their division to put them out. So it's sort of tough to swallow. Noah Nettleton was as good as they were this year, and I think they were the team to beat in the North because they beat Amory 2 out of 3 this year the times that they played them. I think it was 2 out of 3. But I'm going to go with Seminary. I just think they're too talented of a team.
So I'm basing my pick on this is I could not take a map of Mississippi and point out where Seminary is. So on that basis, I'm going to go with Amory to win.
Amory, I love you. Bill's Burgers is elite. But Seminary is just a fantastic baseball program. They're always pumping out talent.
Handy Andy's is better.
Stop it. Took Toby to Bill's for the first time.
Not a sponsor.
No.
Shameless plug.
If they wanted to, I'd sponsor them in a heartbeat. I've never had Bill's Burger and Amory go. It's pretty good.
In a heartbeat and a heart attack in the same sense.
That's good. It's good. That chocolate chip cookie
was
massive.
That was good. That was the best part.
But either way, Seminary, I'm going to pick them to win. Amory, you know, great run they've had in the postseason. But like we said, Seminary just pumps out baseball talent. And like we said, these private schools, even if, you know, getting past the issue of recruiting that has got so many people wild up, a lot of these private schools, their pride and joy is baseball. Hey, that's what they really put their heart into in the state. And so seminary has built a fantastic program. They're in this situation quite often, and I think that experience, both coaching and possibly player-wise, could help.
Also, All-State first team in names, Bo Rock from Amory. That's a really cool
name. That's a cool name.
Yeah.
That is a cool name.
He's going to ICC next
year. Speaking of Rock, remember Rock Robinson?
Yes.
From Pontock?
Yeah.
Well, Pontock's in 4A,
yeah,
facing off against Sumrall. And, guys, what's the pick?
Pontotoc. Pontotoc's baseball school. I'm going Pontotoc.
All right. Comes back to it. I have no idea where Sumrall is. Give me Pontotoc.
I'm going with Pontotoc in a sweep of our picks. Not a sweep of the game. Not a
Okay.
sweep of the game. But, yeah, Pontotoc. Actually, have seen Pontotoc once this year. They were very impressive. They can do it all. They pitch it well, both starting, and they have guys that come in and close the game out if they need to. They hit the ball well. I'm going to go with Pontotoc to win this series.
So I'm guessing with Corinth having a down year this year, they didn't make it this year, didn't go close to the 4A.
I believe they got put out in the first round.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Yeah, Corinth sucks.
East
Central.
All their guys transferred.
East Central versus Neshoba Central in 5A.
This is baseball?
Yeah, it's baseball.
Oh, wow, okay.
I'm going to go with Neshoba Central. I'm going to go with Neshoba Central in that one. I'm going to be honest, I don't know much about these teams.
Either.
But I can't get that name out for the life of me consistently. Neshoba Central, they build good athletic programs in all their sports. And when in this, you're probably going to see some two-sport athletes. And just for the two-sport athlete, I'm picking Neshoba Central and all their success in their athletic programs.
Oh, yeah. I'm going with the Rockets, too. I saw the other day. This is sort of off topic.
That's an awesome
name. But the women's team at Neshoba Central, they've won 9 state championships in a row. It's amazing.
Nine in a row.
Softball state championships. That's a powerhouse.
Quickly, I'm gonna make my pick based on this. What are their two mascots? You got the Rockets and
I don't know.
I don't know East Central.
Give me Neshoba Central then.
Finally, DeSoto Central versus Northwest Rankin. I'm going DeSoto Central. DeSoto Central is a very good baseball school. It seems like them and Tupelo and 6A have a battle every year, whether it's in regular season or playoffs. That's always exciting. I always hear so much about it. I've seen DeSoto Central, if I'm correct, or was it Madison Central last year that was just so good? It escapes me. But either way, I like DeSoto Central in this one. Maybe that's just North Mississippi pride, but I'm going to go with DeSoto.
I'm going with one stat in this game. I'm going with how many dollars did your former players make in the draft last year? I'm going $2 million to zero. Blaise Jordan made $2 million last year in the Major League Baseball draft, and I don't know if Northwest Rankin had any players get drafted at all, so I'm going with DeSoto Central.
It's a good pick. Good pick. I'll just ride with you guys, go to DeSoto Central.
Yeah. All right.
Northeast Mississippi Pride, baby.
Either way, I'm really excited about it. Get to go down there Wednesday, possibly Friday. Who knows?
Maybe. Man, if I didn't have to work, I'd love to be on the call with you.
Get to see who's top two and not two this week in state championship.
Exactly.
Shout out to Drake.
Hey, if I gotta go down there Friday, one of y'all is welcome to go. My usual baseball color guy is all gonna be off taking a well deserved vacation after another successful school year, which is my dad. He's going to be taking a trip. Love having my dad on the call. He's always so fun and gives insight as a baseball coach of 20 years. But he will be gone, so Wednesday I'll be on the call by myself. That one's gonna be fun, and then Friday I will.
You ever seen, on Happy Gilmore when they say need a caddy, pull some random off the street? That needs to be you.
Look,
who wants to make 20
bucks? Look, I've got Hannah riding in the seat with me on Wednesday. I swear, I'll put her on. I tested her the other day, and I gave her a scenario. She sits there for like 5 seconds. She says, "All right, I wasn't ready. Okay, give me another one."
W girlfriend.
Yeah, W girlfriend. W fiance. Hey, I love you. Anyway, let's move on now. Let's take a break from baseball just for a second, and let's just quickly talk some basketball because the NBA. Let's be real. 90% of our listeners probably don't care about the NBA, but we do. And for that 10%, we love you, and we are going to talk about it just for our sake and for that 10% sake. But we'll quickly talk about it. I would ask you for predictions, and I will for the Eastern Conference Finals. Western Conference Finals, the Warriors are up 3-0. Does anybody think the Mavericks pull it off?
Now, if it would have been 3-1, if they can win tomorrow 3-1, let's say take this game was for the 3-1, then maybe a shot down 3-0. No team's ever come back 3-0, so I think.
I'll ask you this. Do the Warriors sweep?
I do. I think so. I think the Mavericks have overachieved this year. I don't think they were better than the Suns. I just think they had –
Luka was in his bag.
They ticked Luka off is what I think. Yeah. And
plus, Chris Paul was horrible in Game 7.
Yeah, well –
So Devin Booker was too.
I'm not putting it all on Chris Paul, but he was not very good in Game 7.
And I'm gonna be honest, with the whole rumors that was coming out that he'd play and injured, that's just bullcrap to try to like save his legacy.
The West was down this year, in my personal opinion.
I mean,
West was no doubt down this year. I love the Grizzlies. The Grizzlies were good this year, but when this young Grizzlies team was able to be a top two seed in the West. It was down.
Okay, y'all may agree or disagree with this, but I feel like three of the top teams in the West this year had injured players. You've got the Denver Nuggets, you got Jamal Murray, who's...
And Michael Porter Jr.
Jamal Murray is a top 3 point guard in the league when he's healthy. I fully believe that. Jamal Murray is a really good
player.
Jamal Murray is a top 3 point guard in the league to me. Then you've got the Clippers, you got Paul George, who was hurt the majority of the year, and then you got Kawhi Leonard, who's also hurt the majority of the year. Well, Kawhi Leonard was hurt the entire year. Then you have the Lakers with Anthony Davis, and you also have LeBron that had some injuries in there as well. Three of those teams in the West that were going to contend in the West, be top 5 teams, I believe, in the West, had those injuries early on. And it sort of made it for sort of a subpar playoffs, I believe.
And what about the Trailblazers? They didn't have any injuries. They just sucked.
Well, Dame was hurt. Dame was hurt
a little bit. But
they traded CJ McCollum. Yeah. Did you see the draft video of Damian Lillard when they got the 6th pick? He was just sitting there, put his hand in his head. Like, there's nothing he can do. He's getting older. He's having to carry an entire franchise. He's making $275 million.
Hey, but at least Dame didn't run from the grind.
Yeah, it's his own fault.
He didn't run to the Lakers. He won't run away from the grind, bro.
AD for Dame, straight up, I would take it right now.
Oh, man. And also, Dame did not have a great start of the year, but regardless, we're not here to talk about the Trailblazers.
Right.
That one Portland fan is screaming right now. He's so mad. He got so hyped for 2 seconds.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Unsubscribe.
Anyway, I don't think – I think Luka will carry them to a winning game 4.
I think –
At home,
you're up 3-0 like that, Steve Kerr knows you don't really have to play very hard for Game 5. You want to play and you want to try to sweep it, but you don't really have to go all out.
I disagree with that, Toby, because nobody's ever come back from 3-0, but in a league with guys as talented, in any professional league, you give them one inch of momentum and it could all be over.
You finish them off now, you get a week off.
Go back to 2016. I mean, that... Everybody thought, everybody thought 3-1. I mean, series is over with LeBron, with LeBron and Steph, and that Warriors team, that Cavs team. And then all it took was a change in momentum. They went in game 5, and then Draymond getting suspended. All it took was a little flip in the momentum, and you see what happens there. It's not the exact same situation. You're not facing LeBron James on the other side, but I disagree with the fact that you're going into it thinking, well, we don't have to play as hard this time. Maybe you're a little bit more mindful of rotation stuff. Maybe if you see the score is getting a little bit out of reach, maybe you rest some of your guys up and you're like, okay, maybe now we just wait. But I don't think you go into a mindset of, this one don't matter a ton. But either way, Celtics and Heat. Last time I checked, we were recording in the middle of game 4, and
Celtics were up by, I think, 20.
The Celtics were laying it on Miami.
Like 32, that's how much.
Yeah, it's 88-57, 8:55 left in the fourth. So Celtics are going to win. They're going to take the series 2-2 going back to Miami. Grady, who wins the series?
The Celtics are the better team, I believe. I think the Celtics are the best team up left in the NBA right now.
Celtics winning. I don't think the Heat win another game.
Going back to Miami, I think they may split. But.
I think it's going to come all down if Marcus Smart is able to play in game 5, 6, and 7.
What's wrong with Tyler Herro tonight? I forgot to ask.
I'm not sure why he was hurt. Feel free to look that up. Yeah. Smart and Robert Williams have both been, one's played one game, one's played not, one has the other game. And when that Celtics team has it put together, their defense thing. Incredible. They were the hottest team probably in the NBA coming into the playoffs. I love the Celtics team, and I think Warriors-Celtics in the finals would be such an amazing matchup, both teams healthy. But I'm not sure if the Celtics are going to be able to get healthy. My head tells me to pick – or my gut tells me to pick the Celtics. My head's telling me to pick Miami. Yeah. So I'm going to pick Miami just because I don't know if Marcus Smart – and Robert Williams will be able to be on the court at the same time for the rest of the series.
This is for Chris Haynes' Twitter page. He says, Miami Heat guard Tyler Hero groin says the plan is to bounce back and be available for game 5 on Wednesday. So it was a groin injury that kept him out of the game tonight.
Yeah, and that was a big loss for Miami. Yeah. Because, I mean, Hero was, you know, sixth man of the year. Obviously had a fantastic year. So let's see. So y'all picking Warriors Celtics. I'm picking Warriors Miami. If I had to ask you right now, who's winning the NBA Finals?
Celtics in 7.
Celtics in 7.
Oh man, I don't know. The NBA is so weird because, like you talked about a minute ago, with Cleveland in 2016. I mean, they were down 3-1 with that really, really, really good 73-9 Warriors team. You never know what's going to happen in the NBA playoffs. The Heat could come and they could lose tonight and then win the next two and be done. You know, so I have really no idea. But going with just what I've seen so far in the playoffs, I'm going Celtics in 6 with whoever they play against.
So if my pick is – if I'm rolling with Warriors in Miami, I'm going to say Golden State in 6. Okay. I think, and this is no disrespect to the Heat because Eric Spoelstra is possibly the best coach in basketball. And Miami is a fantastic team. I just don't know if they are going to be able to keep up with the Warriors, if they'll be able to play good enough defense. The Warriors, it's like I was telling – I was talking to Corey the other night. The Warriors just do small ball so well. And, I mean, like, you trot out a lineup, and it's going to have defensive deficiencies when you run out a lineup of, for instance – you could run out, you know, Steph, Jordan Poole, Clay, Draymond, and Kevon Looney. And
who?
You're a casual fan of Kevon Looney. And Looney, I was talking about it with somebody today. Looney is such a big piece of what makes that team be able to run a small ball. 6'9", able to run the center, able to rebound incredibly well for his size, going up against fives. That lineup's just able to work so well. And there's not really a team that can match it, I don't feel like. The Celtics have the best chance because their defense is incredible. But if it's Miami and Warriors like I'm predicting, then I'm going to say Warriors in 6.
I think this is a pro and con for the Warriors. But I feel like they haven't been tested in the playoffs yet. They played the Nuggets in the first round, who, in my opinion, wasn't a very good team. I mean, they had Jokic. But, I mean, other than that, there was no other guy that could really help. Of course, they play the Grizzlies. The Grizzlies are young. They play hard. But I don't think with the Warriors' talent, they weren't tested against the Grizzlies. And then they're playing the Mavericks, who they're, I think, eventually going to sweep. So they haven't been tested. I think the first true testament to their playoff run is the finals. With the Celtics, they had to beat the Bucks, and they had to beat them along the road. They had to beat the Bucks. They had to beat – who else are they facing in the playoffs? The Bucks, and they had to face the Heat. So I mean, the East is tough this year. I feel like it's really deep too.
You remember, we kind of talked about a couple years ago where the West was the most dominant.
Yeah.
I think now you kind of see a thing where it's come back to balance, where both sides are pretty equal. Where you have your 4 or 5 up at the top that are super super good, and the West has their 4 or 5 top that's super good.
Everybody got scared of LeBron when he went to the West, so they all went to the East.
You know what? This conversation is not about LeBron, but you know what? You make it about LeBron.
Is it true?
You derailed that conversation.
Is it true, though?
It really is.
Let's get back into baseball real quick. And surprise, surprise, I'm going to throw a little bit of a curveball at you. But
I could hit the curve.
dad joke right there. Let's talk about just quickly MLB. We touched on it for like a half second in one of our right when the season was about to start. And now we're about 2 months through. The Cubs are in 4th. Life is good. So now, let's talk about what we think so far about the MLB.
Aren't the Braves in third?
Braves are in third, but at least they're not in fourth, below the Pirates. Imagine being below the Pirates. Couldn't be me or Gertie.
You know, Pirates are actually pretty good this year.
Imagine the best team in baseball being the Yankees this year.
Did you hear him?
What'd he say?
Pirates are actually pretty good this year.
Who?
The Pirates. Pirates suck, Toby. Come on. Check anyway.
It's a tough year.
The Cubs, but hey, they're tied in the division.
Don't worry. Don't worry.
17-24. Yeah.
At least we hit the Reds.
Don't worry. We still got
a long way to go, though.
You got your farm system. It's okay.
I hate you guys. Tell Sean to the podcast.
Arizona's good this year, Toby said.
They are.
They beat the Cubs in the series.
Yeah, the Yankees have kind of emerged as right now, I mean, maybe baseball's best team. And you had a feeling that this team was going to be able to put it together after a little bit of a slower start. You had a feeling they were going to be able to put it together because that lineup's just got so much pop. That rotation, very good. I'd be curious to see.
If we're going on win loss record, second best team in baseball, surprising is the Mets.
Yeah, the
Mets. 28-15. Like, I'm just kind of looking through them a little bit.
The surprise for me is, and I know that a lot of y'all picked this team to go far in our preseason picks, but for me, with recent, I guess, decline in just wins, I guess, the Angels are surprising me this year. I mean, of course, they've had the talent in the past. They've had Ohtani. They've had Trout. But this year, they've actually put it together, and they're winning games. I mean, they're a really good team this year. They're fourth or fifth in record-wise this year.
I just want to make a statement because this is another podcast. When we did our kind of like MLB predictions kind of episode, I had jokingly said the Mets and the Angels in the World Series. Wow.
That's a good pick. That's a good pick.
I want to talk a little bit about the Yankees. Focus more individually.
Yeah.
Are y'all surprised at the year Judge is having? When was the last time he hit 325?
He's not ever hit 325, but Aaron Judge, ever since he won Rookie of the Year, he come out and he hit, what was it, 60 home runs his rookie year? It was something like that. It was a lot. It was like a high number. He's been trending up.
He hit 52 home runs.
52. He was trending up and then had a down year last year, or the year before. That was one of those. Aaron Judge is one of those guys that he just needed the time. And I think the Yankees understood that, and they gave him all the time he needed. And he's finally putting it together.
I mean, because you look at it. In years that he's had played over 100 games, his batting average has been 284, 278, 272, and 287. So 325 is a massive jump. And, of course, he's probably going to cool down a little bit as the year goes on. But even still, 325, the strikeout totals, he's in those years, 208, 152, 141, 158. He's at 45 this year. Yeah. So a strikeout rate's lower. He's leading the league in home runs. His OPS is 1.113.
Mm-hmm. And, I mean, it helps.
Judge is just having – I mean, he's having an unbelievable year. I keep up – I've told y'all with MLB, I'm not an avid fan, but I do try to keep up with stats and teams as best as I can over 162-game season. Right now, I would probably have Judge as the front runner for AL.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. And it helps when you got Giancarlo Stanton, Anthony Rizzo, DJ LeMahieu, Josh Donaldson, Ian Kinafalaya, Gleyber Torres,
and
Aaron Hicks. You got them behind you that you have to throw the ball to Aaron Hicks, because if not, you got Giancarlo Stanton waiting on the.
Yeah, that's the thing, and I think that probably is a big part of why Judge is able to have the year that he's had, is because you can't pitch around him. You know, and a lot of teams, when you have a guy like Judge on another team, he's one of three dangerous hitters. You can kind of pitch around him to an extent. You've got to go at every guy in this lineup because there's no relief behind it.
Where the Yankees, I think, are going to kind of tail off a little bit is their pitching. Their pitching hasn't been the best. It's been good, but it hasn't been the best. I think to build a real World Series contending team, you've got to have a pitching staff that can go the whole 162.
Their team whip is 1.13.
That's not bad. That's not a bad whip. But what's the ERA?
2.96.
That's not bad. That's actually
Garrett Cole has that Clayton Kershaw yips in playoffs, though. Every time he gets in the playoffs, he can't win a big game. But he'll get there, maybe.
Another team that's surprising me are how not really bad they're playing, but how middle of the pack they are is the Blue Jays.
Yeah, I think we all I think we all picked the Blue Jays.
I think I picked the Yankees to win the division, but I had the Blue Jays get the
wild card. We all had the Blue Jays at least as a wild card, and if the season ended right now,
they would not make it.
They would not make it, no. And there's a long season, but it's not just that. They're 22-19, and you know, we talked about how run differential was not a huge stat early in the year, but we're 2 months in now. I feel like run differential is a fair stat. Yeah. They're 22-19, and they are a negative 10 run differential.
If you'd have told me at the beginning of the year that the Baltimore Orioles would have one less loss than the Red Sox, I'd have called you a madman.
Yeah. Crazy thing is, the Red Sox have a plus one run differential despite being 19-22.
They've won five in a row, the Red Sox have. They started bad.
Yeah, I need Christian Vasquez to actually start playing. I don't know why they don't start him. Okay, but continue.
You know, I think one of us had Seattle, I think, breaking through this year.
That was me.
That was you?
Yes.
And, you know, yeah, Seattle has not done as well so far.
No.
Looking at the National League, the Braves, I mean, a little bit of a World Series hangover, 19-22.
I also had the Cubs finishing second.
But, you know, I'll be curious to see. I do think this is – I do think the Mets will probably take this division this year. But I still feel like the Braves are good for a wild card spot because the NL is tough this year. It really is. But if you know, not just the World Series year, pretty much all years, the Braves never start out great. They always bring it up in the back end. And so I think they'll be able to do that again this year. But you're going to have a tough time getting into a wild card spot. Are they moving to six teams this year or next year?
It's next year. So as right now, I'm pretty sure if the season ended today, it would be the Mets, Milwaukee, Dodgers, Padres, and I think it would either be the Cardinals or the Giants. Yeah, it'd be the Cardinals.
It'd be the Cardinals.
They would make it.
Or up a half game.
Yeah.
Man, AL West. Like, I'm just looking at the AL West. That is ridiculous. And also, I made a hot statement that the Arizona Diamondbacks would be good and win over 60 games this year.
That's not good.
It's a lot better than last year. They only won like 50 games.
The AL, 60's
not
good.
That AL
West
doesn't get you in the playoffs.
That's a big improvement, though.
Yeah, the AL West is ridiculous. I mean, the Dodgers have the best run differential in baseball. San Diego is 27-14. Wow. San Francisco, again, is overachieving at 22-18 so far.
Their run differential is plus 97.
Plus 97.
Oh, my goodness.
Best run differential in baseball by far. The next closest to the Yankees at plus 65.
Wow.
Cubs
got plus one.
And the Diamondbacks, I mean, Diamondbacks are nearly at 500.
Yeah.
And
I tried to tell you guys.
The Diamondbacks are nearly at 500. And the Rockies are in 19-22. They're close to 500. That I would say that's probably the most well-rounded division in baseball as of right now. You could argue maybe the AL East because the Orioles have been a little bit better than I think most people expected them to be to this point. At least a bit more competitive. But
from what I'm really looking at right now, the AL is more balanced. The NL is super top-heavy this year. Where you got the one team in the East, Milwaukee, and then you got the three juggernauts in the West.
Who's the worst division in baseball?
The National League Central, and it's not close. I think we can agree.
The AL Central.
The AL Central's pretty bad.
AL Central, I think, would be worse.
Are you talking like all-time or right now this year?
No, right now.
Okay.
Right now. The Twins are 26-16. Twins have been pretty good. But the next – The White Sox are one game over 500 in second with a negative 22 run differential, and the Guardians are the only other team with a positive run differential at 5 in 17-20. And then Kansas City and Detroit have been not good at all.
It hurts the NL Central with having the Reds in there with us.
The Reds hurt. So
otherwise, we'd have kept the Astros, sent them the American League.
No, the Astros would win the division.
You want to know? You want to know a fun fact?
I'd rather them win than the
Blue Pirates. The Pirates are ahead of the. And this is not a smoke of the Cubs. They are third, and they are ahead of the Cubs. But they have the worst run differential in baseball.
They got good pitching though. That's just really comes down to it, man. If you got a good pitching staff, you can score one run. And it's
fine. They won a game despite getting no hit.
That's true.
They beat the Reds.
Only the Reds can throw a no hitter and then get beat. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Anyway,
I regret naming Carlos Correa my way too early MVP.
I miss Chuck being here. Chuck, I did too. That's fun. I enjoyed the MLB. I'm not a huge MLB guy, but I enjoyed that discussion.
I'm ready to see the All-Star break. I wonder how many teams are going to sell.
By the way, I want to add this. Speaking of the All-Star break, the MLB has the best All-Star game.
Yeah, they do. Bar none.
I know why they took it away and they started going to the million-dollar winner or whatever, MVP. I miss when if you won the All-Star game, you got home field advantage.
That's the best thing.
So, yeah. But then they started looking where the American League had won 9 of the last 10,
yeah,
and it got a little too unfair. So I think that's why they changed it. But that used to mean something.
They need to bring it back.
Barring Chuck being in the regionals next week, we need to have another discussion like this next week with Chuck in attendance.
Yeah, no doubt. But speaking of Chuck,
yeah,
being in Hoover, we come to our final topic of the day. Well, I actually do want to ask one thing. This is a little mini thing. Did either one of you watch or keep up with the PGA tournament this weekend?
Yes.
Did y'all see the absolute meltdown that happened at the PGA tournament this weekend?
Yeah, his name's Tiger Woods, but
okay. Poor Tiger, man, catching strays.
Talking about the rookie.
Gonna have to go.
Isn't it where a guy caught out last minute and they called this kid who had to catch a flight at like 3 o'clock in the morning and get there and almost missed it, like his tee off time?
No. This was Mito Pereira. Yeah. He was leading at -6. He was a stroke up on 18. He shot double bogey.
Yeah,
pressure
on 18. Shot double bogey on 18 to not only lose the lead, but knocked him out of the playoff.
Yeah.
Because then a playoff happened.
He finished third and still got $1 million.
He finished third. I looked it up. So the winner got $2.7 million. He got $870,000.
Man, that's sad, bro.
Obviously, he had a ton of money, but he lost out on $1.9 million.
But did you see the video? I saw it on TikTok, which I watch TikTok. But it was a kid, he was on the PGA Championship, and he was an alternate. He was like the third alternate. All two alternates couldn't come. They had a dude drop out last second. Name's forgetting. They called him at like 3 o'clock in the morning. He was in Los Angeles and had to get there. Where's the PGA Championship at?
Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Yeah. So he had to fly there. His flight got delayed. Mm-hmm. So he could not get his clubs off the carousel. He had to go straight to his driver, change in the driver's car, and got there right when they called his name. He checked in. He had to rent a pair of clubs and use like the guy he was playing with. He used his driver.
That's great.
Yeah, I thought it was a really cool story.
I need to look into that.
But I saw it and I was like, man, that's awesome.
Yeah. Either way, that was.
He definitely didn't make
that. Was one of the biggest. That was one of the biggest collapses we've seen in a long time in golf.
Justin Thomas and Zalatoris in the playoffs.
Which Thomas ended up winning.
Yeah.
Should we start bringing up the argument that it may be time for Tiger to hang it up?
Tiger can play as long as he wants.
I don't know. It's a tough decision to make right now. He played really well the Masters. I mean,
Tiger,
of course, he was exhausted at the end of it.
Tiger nearly lost his legs in a car accident. Any rational person, it doesn't matter if he never makes a cut again in his life, it shouldn't hurt his legacy.
It may not
help it. If he still loves playing golf, why hang it up?
Tiger's drive to play is what's going to ultimately hurt him, because he got there on Monday and he played 18 every day.
You know, here's the crazy thing. You know, his drive was to beat Nicklaus, obviously. And then it kind of became clear that wasn't going to happen. And then I think after all his surgeries and everything, it became a point of, for Tiger, he's like, I want to win one more.
Yeah.
I want to win more. And he did it. He won the Masters. And I'm not, and like, for all the bad that happened, I'm not saying it's a bad thing, but I think that car accident and nearly being an amputee, I think it almost gave Tiger that drive again of, I want to win one more coming off this. I got to win one more coming
but
off
did
this.
He rush it? Like, I know Tiger in the Masters is the best thing. When Tiger plays in the Masters.
I don't know if you say he rushed it, because we can't really say what the recovery time off that should be.
Yeah.
I mean, if his doctor said, yeah, you can play, then how are we to say he rushed it?
But what did his, like, psychiatrist, therapist, like, the people inside of his mind, what did they say?
I think, honestly, they might have said it had been good for him to get back on.
My thing is, like, athletes like Michael Jordan, athletes like Kobe Bryant, athletes like Tiger Woods, their therapist would say, if he doesn't play, he might die. Like, he's that kind of guy to where if he's not going to compete, there's no reason for him to live. You put a tiger in a cage, you put a shark in a tank, they don't have free will, they can't do what they want, they're going to die. Tiger's that kind of guy. And it was painful for me. I watched him tee off Friday. He teed off, hit it off the tee, and there was a little slope walking down from the tee box. He's walking down the tee box, and he has to take 15 steps to get down that hill because his legs will not allow him to walk down that hill. The thing about Tiger is unless he cannot walk, He is going to play golf. This man, I'm sure when he woke up Saturday morning and thought, I cannot play golf. And that's the ultimate decision to where he didn't play the weekend.
Yeah,
he made the cut. That was his whole ordeal was, if I make the cut, I'm going to play. He woke up Saturday morning and couldn't move. And it's like, I can't do it. But that's the kind of guy that Tiger Woods is. His psychiatrist, his therapist is like, if he can walk, he's going to play.
Mm-hmm. I think you're right. Now, I'm done with the interruptions. Let's move into Hoover and the SEC baseball tournament. And that's another question I have for y'all. Have y'all ever been to Hoover?
I have not. My uncle's trying.
Hoover is incredible, man. Hoover is incredible. I sadly don't think. Yeah, I can't go because
I've been told it's the best experience you can go to.
If I was going to go, I'd have to go tomorrow, and I don't really have the time or the money to go tomorrow. And then Wednesday and Friday I'm going to be down at State. Thursday I work, and then I leave for Disney World this weekend, so I can't go. Otherwise, I would be going probably whether Ole Miss was there or not.
Are you excited to meet Mickey?
I'm really excited. I'm excited to meet Anna and Elsa. Favorite Disney princesses for sure.
Mike Bianco better.
Love Olaf so much. I'm gonna walk up to Olaf. I'm gonna be right there, and he's gonna wave his little stick hand. I'm gonna pull that space heater from behind me. Watch it just melt. Kids crying all around me. Let me ask you. I saw a hypothetical question. You're locked in a room, empty room. There is an unlimited amount of third graders that come and want to beat you up. If they pin you down for more than 10 seconds, you win. How many third graders could you take down before you lose?
So how many weapons can I have?
Your bare hands.
I would do is I'd get in the bathroom stall with the boy, and I'd sit there and start kicking. Dead. Dead. Dead.
Okay,
dead.
We got
they're all just in there at one time?
You're in an empty room. You're basically, think of that room next to us that has only a bed in it, but imagine the bed's not in there. Bathroom's not in there either. It's a closed
60.
Room. 60?
Yeah, 60. How many for you?
If you knock them out, they disappear.
Oh, 100. 100. Give me 100.
This is a Sports Hour pod on 10 o'clock on a Monday night.
Sports Hour after dark.
Why don't you push it, Grady? Come on. How much are you going to get?
I have no idea. What kind of third graders are we talking about? Like abnormally large third graders?
There's third graders.
They vary in size.
They vary in size. I'm not a very large human either.
It's a third. The one that you go to like kick the first one, he's a freak athlete. Just signed with Alabama. 600 pounds.
I think it's they get released every 5 to 10 seconds too. So you're not like... So if you're quick, I mean...
They come in waves?
They come like...
Zombies type beat.
Somewhat, yeah. I mean, you could get in the corner. You could just keep kicking, you know.
If I pull a ray gun out of the box in the first two rounds, I'm going to round 40.
It's over.
Till the hellhounds pop up, you're just GG's.
Baseball. We were talking about baseball. Georgia and Alabama in the first game of the day. Georgia is the home team. Alabama is fighting for what little tournament life they have, which is not much, but even still, Georgia's still hoping that they can secure a host spot. What do you guys think?
No, it's crazy. First of the year, I called Alabama one of the worst teams in the West, and I called Georgia the second best team in the East. And this year, it's kind of fell a little bit more, where it's kind of become more even, where Alabama's been one of the best.
You were correct, though. Georgia is the second best team in the East, by the way.
Where Georgia, you know, the second best team, and then you got Alabama, who's a quiet come up ranked what, third or fourth right now?
Actually, no. They skidded in the back half of the year. They finished sixth in the West.
Oh, so.
But that's not. I don't think that's a very well representative of what Alabama actually is. I think Alabama's
when
pretty
I,
decent.
When I saw Alabama beat Ole Miss at Swayze Field, I knew.
It's sweat. Ole Miss said.
Yeah. I knew they were going to be good. You know what? I've said it all year. I'll keep saying it. Georgia's the second best team in the East. Give me Georgia to beat Alabama.
I think Georgia's going to win too, mainly just because when you look at Hoover, a lot of it comes down to what are these teams playing for. Georgia's playing to host.
Georgia's playing to host, yeah.
They're playing to host, and they really need two definitely secures it. Winning two definitely secures it. Winning one most likely secures it. They got to get one before they can get two. Georgia's going to win this game.
Okay. The last series of the year, Alabama took two or three from Arkansas.
They did.
Woo!
So I'm going to go Alabama in that game. Because Arkansas is a good
not
one.
A bad pick. I mean, no. you could say they could ride that in.
And the thing about Hoover is you can't
predict who's coming out of
Hoover.
There's
not a bad pick in
Hoover. I know we could say all year that Tennessee's winning it, but you can't at Hoover.
Florida and South Carolina. Florida all of a sudden is kind of on the edge of hosting. They're right there. Took a huge series this past weekend, and they're right on the edge of hosting. They took care of South Carolina, and now they play them again in Hoover. Fun fact, you have two rematches in the single elimination round from last week's series. You have Florida, South Carolina, and Auburn and Kentucky. That one's coming later. But Florida and South Carolina, I talked about it. Whatever team's playing for more usually ends up winning in Hoover. I think Florida's going to win this game because they're...
You said it's Florida, Kentucky, and who?
South Carolina.
South Carolina played really good this year, and I think Florida had their ups and down moments like every other team in the SEC. They had their up and down games. Give me the Gators to beat South Carolina.
I'm fading both of you. I'm going South Carolina.
That's not me. Hey.
Grady has faded us twice now.
Yep.
Yeah. Go for three.
What we got next?
Auburn and Kentucky. And we'll go with that one. That will be the night game of the SEC tournament, which is always the dreaded night game because usually rain comes in and that game ends up getting played at 11 at night.
Ooh.
Ole Miss was in that dreaded night game a couple of years ago. They started that game, not any game, at 10:45 at night.
Ooh, that sucks.
So I'm going to pick.
Yeah, go ahead.
All right, I got Auburn.
Auburn.
Yeah, said it all year too. I like that Auburn team. Give me Auburn to win.
I like Kentucky. Where are you? I'm gonna fade both of y'all on this one. This is my turn. Kentucky was able to. I can't remember if they took two of three from Auburn, but I know they took at least one. A very competitive series they played in Lexington. I like Kentucky. Kentucky don't have very much. Outside of winning it or making it to the championship game of making the NCAA tournament. But I feel like they're going to play with reckless abandon. They're going to go out and play, you know, like it's the last game of the year.
Real quick before we go into, like, deeper picks. Whenever you win, I know you get an automatic bid to the tournament.
Yes.
Do you get an automatic bid to host?
No.
Okay.
No, you do not. Okay. Vanderbilt and Ole Miss, final game of the single elimination round. We go to that one now. Vanderbilt the 8, Ole Miss the 9.
It's like congratulations – you just played Texas A&M. Here's Vanderbilt.
Yeah.
And Ole Miss played the first game. We played all right. Second game we played unbelievable. Third game we had our moments where we could have easily just went ahead and pulled away from Texas A&M. Vanderbilt all year has been again one of those up and down teams.
Yes.
Just like Ole Miss. I think we're talking about what does a team have to play for. Ole Miss has everything to play for in this game. Where we're on that bubble for a tournament bid, but it hasn't been secured, Mike Bianco is going to get this team together, and we're going to beat Vanderbilt.
It's been an underwhelming year for Vanderbilt. It's saying underwhelming. They're 35-19. They're 14-16 in conference. They recently just got swept by LSU too. So it's Vanderbilt at the end of the day, and it's going to be a great game. They're going to put their best out there to play, but we've got Dylan DeLucia going too.
Yeah,
and if we have one guy that's solid for Ole Miss this year on the mound, it's Dylan DeLucia. So I trust in him. With Vanderbilt coming off getting swept against LSU, I feel like we put up a really good fight against Texas A&M. What are we now, like 7 out of the last 10 we've won?
Yeah, 7 out of the last
10. So I think we're rolling a good time. I think we're hot. I think our best guy's on the mound. If we're going to do something this time of the year, this is the game to show that we can.
For Ole Miss to win this game, we have to score in the first inning. We have to put a number up in the first inning. We got to get Dylan DeLucia settled in and give him some help so he can cruise through this game.
You know, it's interesting because these are two teams that are both playing for something. Ole Miss is playing to make sure they're in the tournament. Yeah. Vanderbilt, despite getting swept this weekend, they still have an outside shot to host. They were projected to possibly host last week.
Yeah.
And I've still heard people saying Vanderbilt is not completely out of the hosting conversation.
Yeah.
Vanderbilt's throwing their ace. Ole Miss is throwing their ace. It's going to be – I mean, this is a Friday night matchup we're getting on a Tuesday afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be – I think of the opening round the best biased match. Ole Miss is the best matchup.
Yeah.
I think I got to go Vanderbilt. And I love DeLucia. And I think – And Ole Miss was rolling, and they still can be rolling. Are they going to though?
Yeah,
You know,
we said that all year.
You went from here's the thing. when you had A&M at home and you won Saturday and then you were up 5-2 in the
third,
you know, you're riding high.
Throw the wind out of the sails.
You're not only – you win that series, and again, you're kind of in the same position as Vanderbilt. You win that series, not only
– are you possibly clinching?
Not only are you clinching, you're going in the mindset of – We go win three in the SEC tournament, and a couple crazy things happen, and you might be hosting after the unbelievable up and down year. There was, I mean, Ole Miss, their RPI is 35. There was the possibility if you go and you win your first three, make it to the semifinal round, a slight possibility that you could have been in the host conversation if a lot goes wrong. But now you're in the mindset of, okay, survive in advance. We're not hosting, that's for sure. We just gotta win. We gotta secure that bid. I just wonder what it's gonna do to the Rebel mindset. And you know, we talked about early in the year when we were frustrated a little bit. We wanted to see that dog in them. This is where it's gotta show up.
Yeah.
And I just feel like both teams wanting to play for something. I'm afraid Ole Miss might come off a little bit down after what was a very tough series loss to A&M, so I'm going to take that.
I mean, of course we're in a better situation now than Mississippi State is. I thought there's going to be a lot of turnover at Mississippi State next year. For Ole Miss, I was thinking this the other day, and I was thinking if we had a podcast this week, I was going to say this. Ole Miss has become the Miami Dolphins of college football. It's the Miami Dolphins because we go 8-8, 9-7 every year, and we're sort of just sitting in the middle where you can't really make any changes because we're actually pretty good. We're where we need to be. But then again, we're somewhere where you want to make a change, but you can't because you're sitting right there in the middle, if you know what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's hard to make changes when you're having that success. You're sitting in the right spot, but there's no progress and there's no decline. And it sort of scares me in the direction that we're going.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Let's get through the rest of these kind of quickly. It would be Arkansas and then the winner of Georgia and Alabama. For me, Toby be Georgia. For you, it would be Alabama.
So
a rematch for you.
It's Alabama and
Arkansas.
Oh, okay. And they took two of three from Arkansas. I'm going Arkansas, though, in the SEC tournament because that'll be their first game, right?
Yes.
So I'm saying Arkansas over Alabama in that game two of the second day.
I'm going to go Arkansas over Georgia, too. I think Arkansas, you know, again, it goes back to what these teams are playing for. Arkansas is playing for a potential national seed if they can have a few things go their way in the SEC tournament. So I think Arkansas, they know they've got to get off to a hot start. I think they're going to win that game against Georgia.
I've said it all year, said it again. Second best team in the East is going to beat the second best, or the what? The first best team in the West?
Second best team.
Second best team. They did. Give me Georgia to beat Arkansas.
Texas A&M, and for me and Toby, Florida, for Grady, it's South Carolina.
A&M. A&M's a good ball club.
I'm also picking A&M. They're a resilient ball club.
Yeah, they're good. They're tough. They're tough-minded.
They play good, but I think that whole, you know, number one seed riding high, it's going to catch up to them. Give me Florida to beat Texas A&M.
I respect it. I just, you know, I look at just the Ole Miss and Mississippi State series. They go down 5-2 to the Rebels, end up, you know, putting up a seventh spot, coming up in a big way, winning that series against State. State led all three games going into the seventh inning, and Texas A&M came back and swept them, won all three games after being down in all three in the seventh inning.
They are resilient.
They're a very resilient ball club, and I think in a place like Hoover where arms are limited and
it's just something happens. It just something happens when that number one seed is attached to your name.
I agree. Then Tennessee, and for y'all, Ole Miss, for me, Vanderbilt. So I'm going to go Tennessee, I think.
So when the SEC in the second round, you play two games, right? Mm-hmm. You play three games?
Yeah, it's double elimination after the first round.
Okay. I think Ole Miss will win one, and Tennessee would win the other two, correct?
No. It's double elimination.
It's round robin.
So, it's round robin.
Okay, so give me Tennessee to beat Ole Miss.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's just like a regional.
Tennessee will beat Ole Miss in that second game. I don't know what the run differential will be, but
I think it'd be closer than what it was last time.
Who will we throw?
Diamond?
Hunter Elliott probably.
You'd have to
Hunter
Elliott. Yeah, it'd be Hunter Elliott or Diamond.
Diamond would not start.
I think it'd be Hunter Elliott too. I think that would make for a good game. I think because
Hunter Elliott's good. I mean, he's shown.
It's odd too because Elliott always gets run support. He's usually the Saturday guy.
You could,
and we get
you could
really
throw
good.
Washburn too if you felt inclined.
That's one thing that I've liked about this Ole Miss team is I know we've been up and down, but we at least have four starting pitchers this year. They may not be the best. We at least have four.
I think we have two. Two solid ones. Elliott's a starting pitcher.
Well, you got two he's solid ones, and you got two that you could throw in there if you need to. You don't have to start your closer.
Yeah, okay. I'll agree with that. We don't start Taylor Broadway on a win-or-go-home situation. But then again, we had two studs, two All-American pitchers last year. Well,
we did actually throw Taylor Broadway in a winner-take-all game last year.
Yes, we did. Started him, yeah.
They scored seven runs off of him.
Mm-hmm.
See, at least this year, we've got McDaniel, we've got Gaddis, we've got Washburn, we've got Elliott, and we've got DeLucia. That's five pitchers.
Yeah,
we can go to the end.
You got the rotation.
Yeah. So we're all going to Tennessee. Yeah. LSU, and for y'all, Auburn, for me, Kentucky.
War Eagle beating the Bayou Bengals.
I go LSU.
I'm gonna go LSU there as well too. I think
I've been on Auburn all year. Got to stay with them.
I think LSU is getting hot. They need to lock in a host spot. I think they're gonna play very well in this tournament. We're not gonna go through the entire round robin. That would be too chaotic. Trying to
no, it won't.
Let's say this. Who are your final four teams? If you had to say, I know mine right now. I'm gonna say.
I gotta look at it.
I'm gonna say Arkansas, LSU, Tennessee, and Florida. I do think A&M gets put out at some point this round robin. I'm gonna say Arkansas, Florida, Tennessee, and LSU.
All right.
Tennessee's there for me. Tennessee's there. I say Tennessee and A&M are both there. I don't think Arkansas is going to make it. I don't know who's going to make it on that end. LSU. So it's LSU, Tennessee, and A&M for me. That's the three I know that are going to make it out. I'll go, let's see. Loser of game five and six. Yeah.
Oh, we're really analyzing the bracket now.
Yeah, it's a lot.
Okay, now I'm just gonna change the question.
South Carolina.
Who's your final two?
Tennessee, Georgia, Auburn, and then you got to pick another one from this one. Florida. For my four, and you said the final two games.
Yeah.
Give me
your final two.
Give me Tennessee versus Auburn in the SEC championship.
So you're going chalk. You're going Tennessee A&M chalk.
Yep.
You're going Tennessee
and Auburn.
Tennessee and Auburn.
Yep. Auburn to win it. War Eagle, baby. War Eagle. I've said it all year. War Eagle.
The Rebels, baby. Give me Ole Miss and A&M.
Oh man.
Ole Miss and
A&M. If Ole Miss makes it, we're all going.
You paying for them?
Well, we're going. I'll drive.
You're buying me on my Disney trip.
You telling me you're going to pick Disney over Ole Miss SC Chip Shit?
Tell me I paid $1,300 for that trip.
Man, this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity.
I've been to it. I've been to an Ole Miss championship game in Hoover before. Y'all remember the year that we were up 9-1 on Vanderbilt that came back and beat us?
Yep, I did.
I was at that game.
Oh, good point.
You know, no, you want to know the funny thing about that game? You can ask my family. I wasn't even really that upset, mainly because that Vanderbilt team, until this year's Tennessee team, that was the best college baseball team I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
When I saw it, it's almost like it was a train wreck and I couldn't look away. It was just so awful. But at the same time, it wasn't Ole Miss's fault. I know as crazy as that sounds, Vanderbilt just hit the ball so well.
I remember that.
Such a good team.
I remember that.
And I really left not upset. I was just like, man, Vanderbilt just hits the ball. I mean, they just hit the ball so well for any team. They ended up winning the College World Series that year. I mean, that's the thing. You know, there's a lot of times where I come away upset on this baseball. That was one game where I can legitimately tell you, if you go back and watch that game, guys were hitting spots for Ole Miss. It wasn't necessarily that they pitched bad or anything. It's just
they were just really good ball club.
Yeah. So anyway,
coming back to you talking about best team in college baseball, does Tennessee win the College World Series this year? I personally do not think so.
I think they do. I think they're head and shoulders better than everybody else.
Yes, but they always have those one or two teams that can give you the run for their money. Like Coastal Carolina beating Who did Coastal Carolina beat to win the championship?
Oh, gosh. Virginia, was it?
It was Virginia. I'm pretty sure, like, 95% chance was Virginia, where they just kind of snuck in there. Everybody's like, wow. And they played the best team in baseball and beat them.
Yeah, well, the best team in baseball is subjective.
It's all about matchups. All about matchups.
Yeah. I mean, to me, like, last year, Arkansas was the best team, head and shoulders better than any other team in baseball. They won 21-1 against NC State in the first game of the regional, or was it super regional? Mm-hmm. Then they lost back to. I mean, it just matters who gets hot at the right time. And of course, last year, NC State had COVID problems in Omaha, and we know how that turned out. Baseball is a weird game, but if you ask me right now, is Tennessee going to win the College World Series with only losing 7 games all year? Mm-hmm. They're going to win the College World Series.
When we're talking biggest championship hangover.
Listen to this.
I understand what you're saying. I'm kind of agreeing. I think if I had to pick right now, they would. But I understand your point.
Yeah. My thing is, you have to beat Tennessee twice in a row with them only losing 7 games all year. That's pretty tough.
By the way, I'm going to say Tennessee. If it's possible, I'm not looking at the bracket. I'm going to say it's either Tennessee and either Arkansas or LSU.
I'll say this. If Tennessee does not win the SEC championship, I don't think they'll win the College World Series.
I think vice versa, where it's like kind of one of those things what happened with Duke didn't win it, but they made it all the way. Like something where that happened where they lost, they didn't win their championship for it. It'll motivate them to go all the way.
Yeah, but I feel like Tennessee is, they're like Ivan Drago and Rocky IV. Once he figured out that he was
nice callback.
once he realized that he was human, he didn't know how to bounce back. And I feel like Tennessee's the same way. If they get punched, they get beat twice in a tournament like atmosphere, I feel like they don't know how to bounce back.
I think what's going to be helpful for Tennessee is they're probably going to get a cupcake regional and they'll sweep it.
So anyway, back to the SEC because we're about out of time. You were going Auburn as your champion.
Yeah.
Tennessee.
Rocky Top, like you did in the SEC tournament.
Off the wall pick. I'm going to go LSU.
Okay.
I think I respect it. That, you know, coming off the loss against Ole Miss, they're looking to host.
They swept this weekend.
They swept Vanderbilt.
Yeah.
I think they're back on track a little bit. That's a talented LSU team and has been all year. I think it will be LSU beating Tennessee in the final.
Coming back just to Ole Miss, do we think Ole Miss wins 2 games in the tournament?
Well, I mean, personally,
you're saying you pick.
Okay. If they beat Vanderbilt, then yes, they'll win one more.
Let's look here. So the loser of game
Vanderbilt
7.
Yeah, Ole Miss would play Tennessee. If they lost, they would play
loser of game 8,
which would be LSU and Auburn or Kentucky. And yeah,
so we get Auburn.
They beat all 3 of those teams in a series this year. So,
oh yeah, theoretically we could.
Ole Miss would. I think Ole Miss would win one more for sure.
So we win 2.
2, you think? Which I personally believe 2 sells us a regional, going into a regional.
No, yeah, you win against Vanderbilt, and I think you're probably locked in. But regardless,
so it's. What I've seen too is either Louisville's regional or Gonzaga's regional.
We don't want Louisville's regional.
No, you don't. But that's the one that it doesn't matter where we're going.
Just make
where
one.
We're going.
Or yeah. I'll say if it happens, the Hattiesburg regional will be if Southern Miss hosts.
Yeah. I just hate last year Oxford, Mississippi hosted a regional and I didn't go.
None of us went.
And I regret doing it because, you know, we kind of assumed, I think we all kind of assumed that Ole Miss was going to host one this year, and we could have went this year.
Yeah.
And so we kind of didn't really think, I was like, well, we don't really have to go to that.
Yeah.
And I kind of regret that.
It was Ole Miss and Southern Miss last year, too.
Yeah, it was up here. Great. It was a great regional. Series,
yeah.
We can always say Ole Miss will host a regional again at some point. So.
Yeah, next year.
Hopefully. Either way, we're going to end it there because we are over the hour mark. The Sports Hour Podcast living up to his name. Guys, it's been fun. 3 weeks and we're finally back. But real quick, just graduated. During your time at Ole Miss, so for all of us, it's just been these last 2 years.
Yeah.
Your favorite sports memory in the last 2 years at Ole Miss?
Oh, man. AJ
sports
Finley.
Henry.
AJ Finley pick 6 to seal it.
That was a great moment. That's, I mean, great. I just remember being down at the bottom of the platform and Peyton tackling me.
Yeah, I was on top of 15 people I've never seen again in my life. We were all screaming. We had watched it all night, the little deke off right to the tight end. AJ Finley saw him go 2 steps up, pick six to the house. That has to be the best spot.
We had 3 hours of sleep that night. And
yeah.
48 hours. So, I think that was great.
That or stopping Arkansas's two-point conversion.
That was a good one. I think it was more fun after when we like what were we saying to all the fans as they left.
That was my favorite memory, but the favorite game that I went to is when we went to that Ole Miss and Tennessee basketball game where we had no reason winning that game and we came back and won at the very end.
Where we were the student section.
Yes. It was awesome.
That was a really fun game.
Yeah. That was my favorite memory as an Ole Miss student.
This is kind of the one when John Rice Plumlee hit the home run we called like 2 seconds before.
Arkansas State, yes.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
That was a good memory too. Yeah.
We watched a lot of Ole Miss baseball.
Last year we didn't because we were so busy this year. You had your thesis class and I had my, my internship.
I was Chick-fil-A's. I was always at Chick-fil-A.
Senior years, it was the last 2 or 3 months, boy, we were busy.
It was like last semester to 6 months. Like it felt like the 3 months we were here last year felt like 6 months. And then this year started off slow, then it blew around.
Boys, we got to end it. The new Thor trailer just dropped. We're hopping on that. Guys, thank you so much for listening. Follow us on our Instagram and Twitter if you're already not, but if you're listening, you probably are. We love you. We're glad to be back on Sports Hour Podcast, and we will be back next week. I promise you that, whether it's on Anchor or in person. But for Grady, for Toby, I'm Peyton saying so long. Thank you for listening. God bless, and we'll see you back.